Chapter 27. Owen. It's nearly nightfall when our beleaguered band makes it to the edge of the Arc of Radiance without incident. Halting at the zenith of a large hill, we begin hastily setting up camp, rebuilding tents, and cloistering ourselves close together for protection. The howls of the manticores have already begun to sound in the distance, giving everyone an additional reason to move with all manner of haste. The swiftly setting sun brings the promise of a long and potentially dangerous night. Above, the arc looms like a shimmering wall of light, its surface casting the surrounding land in a soft bluish glow. The magical energy ebbs and flows, sometimes smoky and opaque, and sometimes offering a tantalizingly clear view of the other side. Beyond, the leafless trees of the Emberwood wait in a dense tangle, a vibrant garden compared to the deserts of the waste. The self-liberated slaves, oddly, seem uncomfortable around the Ark. Many regard the edge uncertainly, others refusing to even look at it. They're afraid. I turn from the Ark to stare out at the darkening hills. Our world is so much different than the one they've always known. Fortunately, no Gorgons or any other demons are lurking nearby. Either all of them have been recalled to join the greater army of the plains, or we miraculously manage to find a section of the barrier that isn't being scrutinized by their smoldering red eyes. Whatever the case, I'm grateful that no fighting has been required thus far. After such a long day, we can all use a little rest. The tents are erected in short order, but no fires are lit anywhere in the camp. With the omnipresent glow of the Ark, the light isn't needed, and the orange flames would act as a beacon for miles in all directions. Instead, our meals are eaten cold, a mixture of dried roots and berries washed down with water from the full skins. Overall, the mood is quite subdued in the camp. After our minimal chores are complete, most everyone prepares themselves for bed. To ensure our protection through the night, I set up watch posts, organizing Yare and the other youths into groups around the perimeter. There needs to be a constant presence of spears if we're to avoid catastrophe, and I mentally prepare myself for a sleepless night, moving from one group to another like a watchful guardian. During one of my rotations, I find Zara sitting cross-legged on the ground in front of the Ark and wearing a look of intense concentration as she stares at its magical surface. She mutters to herself, absently rubbing her talisman as she puzzles something out in her mind, her posture straight as an arrow. Upon hearing my approach, she relaxes, letting out a long sigh as I sit next to her in the dirt. "You look troubled," I observe, removing the bow from my shoulder and laying it on the ground beside me. "Is everything all right?"
"Yes and no,"
she replies, blinking away some thought as she tears her gaze away from the Ark and focuses on me.
"I was just thinking about ways I can open up a portal so that we can all get through. It's a complicated endeavor, to say the least."
I hesitate before asking my next question.
"Have you come up with anything?"
She grimaces.
"Nothing yet. There's a lot to consider with something of this size."
She opens her mouth to continue, then closes it again, as if unsure about what to say. Finally, she glances away and whispers,
"I'm worried, Owen."
"Worried?" I ask gently. "About what?" She heaves another sigh.
"About everything. The Ark, the demons, these people. All of it is weighing on my mind like a mountain, and I can't help but feel inadequate. Why did I promise I could save them? It was a lie."
She turns to look at me, and for the first time I notice the welling tears in her eyes.
"It's all so overwhelming. What if I can't find a way to get us back through the Ark? The R'hllar will find us eventually, and when they do, there's nothing that you or I will be able to do to stop them. They'll kill everyone, and it'll all be my fault."
I put my hands on her shoulders and look into her eyes. "Zara, take a deep breath." She stares back at me, unwilling to comply at first, before I see her chest rise and fall slowly.
"Now, where's this coming from? This doesn't sound like you at all." She holds my gaze for a moment, then looks away. What I'm attempting has never been done before, Owen. The Ark was designed so that it couldn't be opened from the outside. The only reason the demons are able to get through is because of the random holes that keep appearing in it. Those holes are unpredictable, and...
She shakes her head, squeezing her eyes shut.
I'm just afraid. Afraid that I might fail.
I pull her into my arms.
You're not going to fail. How can you be so sure?
Because you're Zara Denel. If anyone in this light-forsaken world can get us through the Ark, it's you. I refuse to believe that we've come so far only to be trapped here.
You'll think of something. You always do.
I don't know, she says, shaking her head against my chest.
I just don't have the answers.
You will, I reply softly, resting my head on hers.
Just give it time. You're the greatest mage in the world, remember? It'll come to you, I promise.
We sit there for a long moment, basking in the cold glow of magic as the camp slumbers behind us. She takes another deep breath and nestles closer to me, some of the tension leaving her.
It's annoying that you're able to do that, you know. You shouldn't be so good at making me feel better.
I chuckle, giving no response to her observation. We rest for a time, sitting quietly and watching the swirling patterns of light dance before our eyes. Although the Ark gives off no warmth, there is something comforting about its magical thrum, a reminder that civilization is close by, even if we are currently on the wrong side. Eventually, the nag of my responsibilities gets the better of me, and I remove my arm from her shoulder, standing and once more shouldering my bow.
I should get going. I need to check on the guard posts.
She nods, giving me a demure smile.
Thanks for coming over, Owen. It really means a lot.
Of course, I reply softly.
You'd do the same for me.
I give her one final look before slinking off into the darkness, my makeshift arrows bouncing with every step. As I head over to the first group of watchers, I find that my thoughts are still on Zara, her resolute form sitting before the Ark with her talisman in hand. She's so determined, I doubt she'll find any sleep this night.
I truly hope you can figure this one out, Zara, I think grimly, resting a hand on my dagger. For all our sakes.
Surprisingly, the night ends without incident, the manticores keeping their distance from our new encampment. As the sun rises, the hues of dawn drown out the glow of the Ark. The immediate danger has passed, allowing the young warriors and me to finally relax. I sleep through the morning, waking around midday. Even before I open my eyes, I can feel the sweltering heat of the sun, and I dread leaving the shade of my tent to go about my duties. Elias's voice comes unbidden to my mind.
Wastrels sleep, rangers work.
Grudgingly, I get up from my sleeping mat and open the tent flap, setting out to find some water for my parched throat. Once my thirst is quenched, I start looking around for Zara. Although I am unable to communicate well with the people milling about, I can still sense their unease. It feels like the entire encampment is holding its breath. Most rest in what little shade they can find or converse in small groups, idling away the time as if uncertain of what else to do. Walking past the last group of tents, I make my way over to Zara's last position near the Ark. She'd spent a large portion of the night just staring at the impenetrable wall of energy, and I find her to be in the middle of casting a spell, her talisman held up and her lips moving in some sort of incantation. Radiant light gathers at her fingertips, then shoots into the air, connecting with the Ark like a solid blue battering ram and smashing against the shield. The light explodes, breaking against the blue energy, and sending down a shower of blinding sparks, leaving the surface of the Ark unbroken. Zara seems to deflate as I approach, and I can hear her muttering angrily to herself in a low voice.
"How's it going?"
I ask, attempting to sound unassuming. She glances over her shoulder at me, then turns back to regard the Ark.
Not good, she replies bitterly. No matter what I do, I can't even seem to scratch the thing.
Well, keep at it. But please get some rest at some point, I respond, genuinely concerned for her as I come up to stand next to her.
I believe in you, Zara. We all do.
She doesn't reply, but I can sense her bristling with annoyance.
Hells, did I say something wrong?
An awkward moment passes, and I break the silence with an uncomfortable chuckle.
None of us died in the night, so that's a good sign. Those manticores didn't even come near our hill.
Still staring intently at the Ark, she replies,
Perhaps they're just biding their time.
Perhaps, I concede, but we'll be ready if they finally decide to attack. I plan on putting these folks to work this afternoon. We're in serious need of defensive structures, trenches, and the like.
When she doesn't respond, I continue, Could I maybe get your help translating? She nods absently.
Yes, yes, no problem. Tell me what you want me to say, and then I'll relay it to them.
Blinking, she softens and gives me a tired smile.
I appreciate you checking on me, but if you'll excuse me, I'm going to get back at it.
I lower my head in consent.
As you wish, Magus. Sorry for disturbing you.
As I walk away, I can hear Zara start muttering to herself again, speaking in some arcane language that I could never hope to understand. Taking a deep breath, I make my way to the far edge of the hill and begin surveying the surrounding hills. The uneven terrain stretches for miles, eventually giving way to the flatlands of the desert and into lands unknown beyond. Everything seems quiet and desolate before my eyes, the only life coming from the buzzing chirp of insects flying above the thorny bushes covering the hillsides. From somewhere within, I feel a brief but substantial rush of fear that Zara may not be able to deliver on our promise, and will be trapped on this hilltop forever.
If that happens, we'd better be able to hold out up here as long as possible.
I quickly push away my unproductive thoughts, turning to make myself useful.
We'll need to construct a bottleneck if we're going to have any hope of defending this place, I think, eyeing the natural slope of the hilltop. Trenches will be essential. Maybe there's something we can do with the brambles as well.
Zara steps away briefly from working on the Ark, and with the help of her translations, I spend the rest of the afternoon organizing the Wastelanders into work teams, setting them to various assignments with our limited tools and materials. We spend hours gathering brush and rocks, as well as digging trenches all around the perimeter of our encampment. It's grueling work, but oddly it seems to raise everyone's spirits, the labor taking our minds away from our fear. By nightfall, a semblance of a barrier is in place, with a shallow ditch surrounding the outside.
We'll add to it every day until it can adequately protect us, I think,
settling on the ground for the evening meal.
If the demons come, we'll make sure we're ready for them.
Zara doesn't partake with the rest of us while we consume our meager provisions. I bring her some food before bed, but she hardly acknowledges my existence. I make her promise to finally get some rest before heading off to oversee the watchposts, pointing out that she'll do little good if she burns herself out. She agrees, then promptly returns to her work, every so often hurling spells at the Wall of Radiance. The next few days pass in much the same way, with most working on the defenses of the camp while Zara tries everything in her power to open a hole in the Ark. Her efforts thus far prove to be in vain, and the longer we wait, the more agitated she becomes. By the third day, she has dark circles beneath her bloodshot eyes and deep lines that betray her fatigue. Her pyrotechnics, while showy, do little to the Ark, and no random holes appear for us to use. She even resorts to joining hands with the youths she's been training, drawing upon their power in an attempt to open it. This, too, proves fruitless.
The desert folk grow increasingly restless while we wait, muttering darkly whenever Zara or I are near. Even the warriors I've trained seem agitated. They don't openly complain, but I can see it in the way they carry themselves, their posture drooping and their expressions growing grim. We're going to have a full-blown revolt on our hands if nothing changes soon, I think, as I make my rounds. Hells, if they weren't so terrified, they might have all left already. On the fourth day, I stand at the edge of our defenses, staring distantly at the wastes with my hand resting on my quill dagger. The bulwark of earth and stone beneath my feet now extends taller than any man in the encampment, and is patrolled all hours of the day by our increasingly growing number of guardsmen. While not all men in the encampment desire to pick up arms and learn to fight, the number of warriors goes well beyond just the youth. Their fighting prowess is nothing spectacular as a result of their limited training, but I suppose that it's still better than nothing. Yari approaches from the side, spear resting on his shoulder, and joins me in staring at the desolate expanse.
"Tabrik," he says in greeting.
"Tabrik," I return somberly. We stand in silence for a time, listening idly to some of the would-be warriors training by throwing rocks at thornbush targets. After a few minutes, Yari clears his throat.
"You, good leader, Owen. Thank you for teach."
I turn to regard him with a mixture of surprise and amusement. "Been practicing with Zara, have you?" His brows furrow in concentration.
"Before come here, yes."
I nod to him graciously. "You sound great." He brightens.
"Thank you, Owen."
I take a deep breath and look back out at the hills.
"I've enjoyed teaching you, Yari. You're a good student. I think you would make an excellent ranger."
His smile fades, and he pauses as if trying to figure out the right words.
"Others, they no happy, think we all die."
"We might indeed," I mutter under my breath. After a pause, I add, "But if we die, we die with honor. That's all a man can really ask for."
Yari's eyebrows pinch together in confusion.
"Honor?"
"Oh," I reply, feeling foolish. "It's, well, honor is when you do what's right, even when you know you might die. It's the mark of a good warrior, a good man."
I speak slowly, not sure if he understands my meaning. My thoughts flash briefly to Elias and to the soldiers I've seen stand their ground in battle, even against seemingly insurmountable odds.
"Honor,"
Yari repeats, the word sounding strange on his tongue. Then, unexpectedly, he points at me.
"Owen, honor."
I can't help but chuckle.
"No, I try."
He straightens, planting the butt of his spear in front of him with pride.
"Maybe one day I, too, will honor."
I give him a warm smile.
"I'm sure you will, Yari. I'm sure you will."
He looks back out at the hills, his long, dark hair blowing in the breeze. Then he spots something, his eyes growing wide. He points, jabbering quickly in his language, and I follow his gaze, squinting to see what's caught his attention. Dark shapes flood down the side of a distant hill. Dozens, if not hundreds of them. Though it's too far to make out any details, the flash of red eyes, like pinpoints racing toward us, are unmistakable. Demons. "Ah, hells," I growl, pulling out my belt knife.
"Yari, get the others.
We're under attack!"